August blends and quorum
Methodist queen works only case.
Let's cut the bull.
Thanks for tuning in to Rebellion Radio, the Hunger Games podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Rebellion Radio, episode number 23 for June 3rd, 2012. I'm Hurley Commons.
I'm Alex Bolova.
And I'm Alina Thomas.
And welcome back, everybody. We got another action-packed week.
You guys out of school yet?
No.
Oh, wait, hold on. How many more episodes? Okay. So, okay, when do you guys get out?
I'm out.
I'm already out.
Oh, okay, Alina.
Okay, the next podcast we record, I will have literally just gone out of school.
Okay, so let's jump straight into the news this week. As always, actually not as always, ever since the next last movie came out, there's been no news. The one news that we do have is like the lamest story ever, and it's like here it is. Lionsgate predicts $400 million international Catching Fire box office, calls itself the number one studio for young adults. So, that's good. They're confident. That's fine.
Basically,
end of story.
Basically just saying, hey, we're going to make money. Yay.
Well, we all knew that anyway.
So yeah, really.
And that's the news for this week, so, yeah.
Yay!
So let's move straight into emails and comments. Be sure to email in your thoughts to comments at rebellionradiopodcast.com or go to rebellionradiopodcast.com and leave comments on our episodes, and we will read every single email, so be sure to write in. The first actual comment comes from Will Anderson, and he says, hey, this is an awesome podcast. You guys always hate on Gale, though. Yes, we do. Which isn't bad. You have your own opinions, but I like Gale. Better than Peeta, in fact. I can see why Katniss would choose Peeta. As she explained near the end, she doesn't need Gale's fire. She has enough fire of her own. She needs Peeta's peacefulness, like a dandelion. But in my opinion, Gale is better, and I like him more, because he would die and fight for the cause. He would not give up just to be with someone. He knows what's important and will do anything for it. He did not kill Prim, spoiler alert. But even if he had, how would you explain that to your best friend? By the way, I'm really sorry, but I killed your sister. No. Thanks, awesome podcast.
Yeah. We still don't like Gale, but good point.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of mentioned this before. I'm like, I don't hate Gale anymore.
No.
Yeah,
well, I just feel bad for him.
Yeah, I mean, it just didn't work out the way... You know, it just didn't play out, because...
It just wasn't meant to be.
Exactly. So, thank you for that, Will. April is not here. Elena, why don't you read the next email?
Okay, the next email is from Megan B., and she says, hey guys, best podcast ever. I can't wait for the next episode. Please mention me in your show, because next time I'll be listening, I will be in the hospital. Sorry to put on... a damper on things, but I'm having back surgery on May 23rd and have to stay in recovery for a week. So would you do a girl a favor and mention me? Sorry for the really long message. You're almost number one fan, Megan. So yes, I hope that all went well. Megan, I'm guessing she's probably out of the hospital by now, so I hope that was all good. And
yep. Hope you recovered well.
Quick recovery, Megan B.
Yep.
And you are the number one fan, not almost the number one fan.
Yep. And Megan, this podcast, dedicated to you.
Yes. Yay. Episode Oh, wait. Her surgery was on May 23rd, and this is episode 23.
There you go.
Coincidence? I think not.
I think not.
Alex, why don't you read the next email from Sarah?
All right. So Sarah says, hi, I really love your podcast. It's really great to hear from other kids about how much they love the Hunger Games series. I noticed that last week you were talking about how Gale means spraying and inciting, which is like how Gale in the books is always trying to incite and start the rebellion. And then you mentioned about how Peeta means bread, and he is the bread of the capital in Panem or something. There's also another meaning thing that I noticed. Peeta can also be seen as alternate for the name Peter, which means rock. Peeta is Katniss's rock through most of the series. He's the one that she goes to when she's having nightmares and catching fire and having other problems. In Mockingjay, when he is kidnapped by the capital, Katniss begins to fall apart. It's like they have taken her rock and support away from her. I think that you have heard this before, but I thought it was pretty interesting. Thanks for the awesome podcast. They always brighten my day. So, yeah, it's official. Our fans have dug way too deep into the meaning of all these names.
I say not deep enough.
A very good insight. I I actually haven't heard that view.
Never.
Like, that point of view before. So.
The Peter means rock, which it does, right? The rock.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so now, fans, your goal for next week, discover what the name Finnick means.
Yes. Ooh. Catching fire names. Go, everyone. Dig deep. Even if to make stuff up, that's fine. If it makes us impressed, we like it.
Yes, Finnick. It's Finn. Finn is fish. And he's a fish swimming in the sea of all the games.
Oh my gosh.
Well, let me think of it like finicky. That's like a word. It's kind of like rambunctious kind of thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Finnick is
Well, actually, isn't he coming from the fishing district too? So Finn.
Yep.
Okay.
Our fans are so smart.
We may have stolen some of the fans, but other names in Catching Fire, you can analyze those. Anyway, final email comes from Marie, and she says, "Hey guys, just started listening and I enjoyed the podcast. I just wanted to share a cool little connection related to Avoxes. For anyone who has forgotten, the girl Avox is named Lavinia, which is also the name of one of the characters in the Shakespeare play called Titus Andronicus.
In the play, Andronicus.
In the play, Lavinia is raped, and afterwards her tongue is cut out and her hands are cut off, so she cannot reveal who raped her. Just thought it was interesting, although maybe you already knew it. Thanks for reading, Marie." So that is really interesting.
Yeah. Well, glad to see that we have Shakespeare nerds in the audience.
Yes. Thank you, Marie, for that. The tongue getting cut off thing is, I think you kind of see it a lot in Shakespearean times, because...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yes, that does it for emails this week. Be sure to email in your thoughts about anything. So, now we are going to move into a segment that we are going to try out for the first time, and this is Fan Rock. Fan Rock is where you guys, the fans, can submit your own tunes to be previewed on the show. So the rules are, you just send in, don't send in one every week from the same person. We have to give everybody else a chance, but... send in a name of the song and a YouTube link and why it connects to the Hunger Games, and we will preview it in the middle of the show after emails and comments. We don't have time to play the whole song because we still have rock at the end.
And there's copyright violations.
Well, I think we've broken many of those already, but... So the very first fan rock comes from listener Erin, and she chose Somebody That I Used to Know by Gautier. And Erin says... I think it goes with the relationship of Katniss and Gale after Mockingjay. The song explains how two people were really in love, but after they split, the feelings didn't seem as strong. And that makes sense, because, you know, Gale just kind of is just kind of out of Katniss' life forever. Thank you for that, Erin, very much. Didn't have to cut my tongue off.
Oh, okay. Fan challenge. Something that I used to know with Avoxes. I know you guys can do it.
A lot of fan challenges this week.
Yeah, but we got to give them something to do.
That's true. Okay,
yeah,
so chapter 5.
School's practically out. They just need something to do.
Yeah. Every day, just sit on the computer, type up all these fan challenges that we
can do. Yeah, their teachers don't give them homework anymore, so we do instead.
And awkward transition.
Transition.
To chapter chat. Now we're going to move into chapter chat, people. Catching fire. Discussing the chapters, two chapters at a time. Everybody knows what's up. Spoiler alert for everyone. All three books, we will be discussing everything. So this week we have chapters 5 and 6 of Catching Fire. Okay, chapter 5. Catching Fire. So Peter and Katniss barely have time to react to the man's death. Oh, just recap. They are in District 11. And a man has just been executed for, like, doing the three-finger salute when Katniss and Peeta are talking. So, Peeta and Katniss barely have time to react, and they are rushed out of the room to join their media team who don't know what's just happened. They're oblivious. So they hear more shooting, and PETA lies and says nothing's happened. So Haymitch draws PETA and Katniss aside so they can have an open, honest chat. They hide at the top of the Justice Building. Katniss explains to PETA what's happening, her meeting with President Snow, and how they are still in danger, even outside of the arena. PETA is upset and says that he has to be included in what she knows. He's part of this and can't be left out. He can't be treated like someone she used to know. Okay, I'm done. So, he's sad because now he realizes the gift he tried to give Thresh and Rue's families will probably just result in tragedy for them. He had no idea. So, I think it's kind of interesting how PETA, like, we talked about last week how Katniss doesn't know how when to keep her mouth shut, you know? Mm-hmm. And she just incites things willy-nilly. As good as PETA is with interviews and stuff, he still makes these huge blunders that, especially in the, like, topic of rebellion, really damage, you know, people.
Right. Actually, I noticed an interesting parallel in this chapter. In the Hunger Games, while training, PETA chose to separate himself from Katniss to train with Haymitch, and now sort of the opposite is happening, where Katniss is abandoning PETA to, like, talk with Haymitch.
Yeah. It's kind of like Haymitch is the parent, and they're both kind of siding with the parents at different times.
Right.
Siblings. So, they argue some more, and Katniss realizes that back in the arena, when Haymitch had to pick only one of them to help, he selected Katniss. So PETA storms out all angry. Then they had to regroup, get ready for dinner, and put on smiles for the cameras. It's not clear who knows about what about the punishments have been inflicted on the people in District 11. It seems like Effie doesn't, but Cinna might. So it just shows, like, the censorship and, like, even the people within the capital, like Effie. Maybe she's just pretending not to know, but, like, sometimes even those people don't know what's going on. So as PETA and Katniss prepare to enter another important event, they make up. He asks her if she just kissed Gale one more time, and she says yes, only one. Then Katniss and PETA go to the media event after. PETA and Katniss go to media event after event, acting like they're totally in love. Katniss thinks things are hopeless. In some of the places they visit, it seems like the people are on the verge of rebellion. Pretending to be in love won't stop it. So they've kind of got the ball rolling, but they realize it's a force that's out of their hands now. So she and PETA start to depend on each other more and more, just as they did in the arena. The visits to 1 and 2 are really hard because the pressure is building up and the volcano is about to explode. And when their media tour gets to the capital, Katniss has the idea that PETA should propose marriage to her in front of all the cameras. That should prove that to everyone that they're really in love, right? So, is there no marriage age laws in Pan Am?
You know, I think when you survive the Hunger Games, you're just kind of exempt from everything.
And just a free pass. What are they, 17?
Well...
I don't know, 16 or 17?
Do not know this, hold on.
Let's see, Katniss was 16 in the first book. She's probably 17 in this book.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, on the verge of adulthood.
And I think you I think in the U.S. you can get married in some states when you're 16, I think.
Okay, she's 17 and catching fire.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it's really young, but I mean, it's the capital. What do you expect?
I guess it's not that weird.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, in the grand scheme of things, it's not, yeah.
I mean, we've talked about how everything except for the capital seems to be stuck, like, a few centuries behind us. And back, you know, 1600s, United States, like, the settlers were, you know, marrying very young. Like, in Europe, they're marrying very young. So maybe kind of like that?
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, maybe this is just for them. I wonder how other people, when they marry.
Huh. Mm.
Maybe it's just, maybe everyone else marries, like, at 25 or whatever. So PETA is sad because that's not how he wanted to happen. He always wanted them to get married for real because they were truly in love. But he does it at their next big interview conducted by Caesar Flickerman. He's back.
Yay.
And it seems like the PR stunt is a big success. So I feel bad for this guy because Katniss is saying it right to his face. Let's get married just for the cameras, though.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So
and
sad.
Caesar returns. Flickerman. Hopefully Stanley Tucci returns.
Well, yes. Who else could it be, really?
Well, they could just... I don't know.
They could say he got a makeover or something.
Yeah. Caesar, exactly. What happened? Oh, plastic surgery. Right.
The funny part is that would totally work as an excuse.
It really would.
It wouldn't be that weird.
Okay. So, President Snow is there and even hugs Katniss, which is gross. And when they embrace, she can sense that he's still not satisfied. But, I don't know what else she can do to please him at this point. Because mm-hmm. it's out of their hands. And that concludes Chapter 5.
And so, now we move on to Chapter 6, and so Katniss then realizes that she can't win, so she begins to plot an escape for her family, which she will start as soon as they get back to her home district. But first, she has to finish the media tour. So she finishes up the interview with as much good cheer as she could muster, and then they head to an amazing party full of incredible-looking food. Many of the people at the party have her Mockingjay symbol on, but Katniss doubts it means to them what it means to her. It's probably just the latest capital fashion trend, which I thought was interesting and kind of
ironic.
Yeah, it perceived as social commentary, I guess.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you see people walking around with their big capital Mockingjay pin shirts. And yeah, it's just, cool because it's the Hunger Games. Doesn't mean mm-hmm. anything with rebellion. Not saying that that really means rebellion, in the real world, but still.
I think it kind of connects to like the movements in America, like Coney. Everyone, that was a huge sweeping thing. Everyone bought all these Coney stuff, and it was kind of like this trend, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
but they didn't have all the facts about it.
Right. Yeah, and I don't want to go exactly into the politics of that, but it was just kind of like a trend, and people didn't maybe fully know what it was about, but.
Yeah,
but people here don't know that they're inciting rebellion on their own capital.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. Katniss eats as much as she can, and then the prep team tries to convince her and Peeta to drink some liquid that will make them vomit so that they can drink more. But she and Peeta refuse, and it all seems very wasteful compared to the little they have in District 12. And I love this—not the actual thing itself, but. Just that Suzanne Collins put it in, because it's so, I don't know, I felt horrible after when I read this, because it just seems like something that we do all the time, every day. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm thinking about, Thanksgiving and stuff. You're like, I want to eat more food, but I'm so full. You know that kind of feeling? It's just like...
Exactly, yeah. Because mm-hmm. everyone stuffs themselves on Thanksgiving, but then there's all this huge culture of, being thin and stuff in America. Don't be fat, but everyone just kind of, binge eats on Thanksgiving or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the throwing up to, get the food out, it's like bulimic. So,
yeah.
Yeah, this
I wouldn't. I don't think it's exactly them being bulimic. Exactly, I think it's
bulimic's like an actual disorder. But I'm just saying, it's the traits of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say this is the biggest, slap in the face, probably the whole book in terms of social commentary.
Yeah, definitely. So, let's see. So Katniss and Peeta then dance, and Peeta says that maybe they should help a rebellion, but it's too dangerous to keep talking about it at the party. Then the new head game maker, Plutarch Heavensby, comes up to dance with Katniss. And
I love this part.
He tells her that he's getting ready for the quarter quell. Then he makes a big point of showing her his watch and telling her what time it is. Katniss watches as the image of the Mockingjay appears on the watch face, then vanishes. So then Plutarch says that he's going to a meeting, but not to tell anyone. He says they'll meet again at the next games, and then he leaves. So, Katniss thought that was really weird.
That's awesome.
Major foreshadowing.
So, Katniss thought that was weird and can't figure out why he made such a big deal about the watch. And that is important later.
Very
interesting. So, Peeta and Katniss had been spending... Peeta and Katniss had been spending their nights sleeping in the same bed to help keep away the awful nightmares. The next day, Peeta tells Katniss that, remarkably, she didn't have any nightmares. She tells him about a dream she had where a mockingjay turned into Roo. PETA says that his nightmares are about not being able to find Katniss, which makes Katniss feel guilty.
What do you dream about, Katniss? What do you dream about? Losing you. Oh.
So that makes Katniss feel guilty because his feelings are so genuine and simple, where hers are all messy and crazy. So the train then takes them back to District 12. And they are they're back just in time for the Harvest Festival, which will be celebrated at the mayor's house. Mm. So Katniss goes off on a tangent about her friendship with the mayor's daughter, Madge. It was Madge who gave her the Mockingjay pin so long ago.
Non-movie continuity.
Yeah. So Katniss looks for Madge at the party when she stops to watch an emergency broadcast on private TV, which is Mayor Undersea's TV. And it's definitely not something that Katniss should be seeing. And it turns out that the people of District 8 are beginning to rebel.
Okay, couple things. One, the watch is awesome, and I hope they sell those.
Yes.
For reals. I'd buy that. I mean, actually, I feel like it'd be really expensive, but I would try to buy that. And also, okay, question. What private... So this private TV is just... Does that mean it's just for... like mayors and stuff, because why would you broadcast a rebellion? Wouldn't you want to keep it secret?
Maybe for like head peacekeepers and mayors and stuff. Although I don't really know.
Because like, wouldn't that be kind of dangerous to have any sort of broadcast of that? Like, I mean, maybe like send them like a telegram or something. Just like, you know, there's a thing going on here. But if you have actual video, someone could see. Like, Katniss just stumbled into the room and saw it.
Yeah.
And people could get ideas in other districts.
Yeah, it does seem kind of odd. And I don't know, it seems like it's kind of one of those things, like, you know, with, like, radios, there's, like, radio stations, like, different stations. It feels like that would be what the mayors have, but I don't know why it would be a TV. Especially because the mayor just left the TV on and walked away.
Well, he's just channel surfing. Ooh, rebellion.
Actually, what if... like, the TV was left on specifically so Katniss could see it. Like, they really do want to get rid of Katniess because, you know, she couldn't incite a rebellion. So, if they actually have proof that she knows too much, then maybe they can execute her.
Or maybe she's trying to help her. Or so maybe she knows what's going on.
Yeah. It's a big conspiracy.
Because I feel like Undersea, the mayor, is a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But...
we'll never know.
Yeah. It will never... But,
so Madge, next week when we interview Suzanne Collins on our show.
Right, we forgot to mention that.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's a question. In the Catching Fire movie, are they still going to have, you know, the scene? Like, probably will be at the mayor's house, but will Madge be there? Or is Candace just going to be like, oh, la-di-da-di-da, I have to go to the bathroom. Hey, a TV.
The TV's in the bathroom.
Exactly.
I don't know, they might have, like... like, you know what they have in the Hunger Games movie? They had just the cut to the District 8 rebellion. I don't know. I think we talked about this last week, but just how they already had that. So I don't know what they're going to do about that exactly.
Yeah.
Because they already had a District 8 rebellion shown in the previous movie.
Right. So, well, was it 11?
Yeah, I thought it was 11.
Oh, sorry. Yes, it was 11. Okay, I'm getting my districts confused.
Yeah, so they have to figure out, first of all, if they want to keep the second 11 Rebellion and how to display the 8 Rebellion.
Yeah.
So, I mean, actually, 8 will be... like, I'm not sure what 8 supplies, but it'll probably look a lot different.
Wasn't it, like, industry?
So, also, why did she mention Madge again? Like, I don't understand why Madge is such a big deal.
Is she, like, some sort of, like, literary symbol or something that I'm missing out on or something?
Okay, fans, what is the definition of Madge?
Third fan challenge.
Exactly.
I mean, the only thing I can think of why she keeps occurring is, like, just a connection to the mayor, so she can kind of see these things, like the TV and stuff, and just have an insight into the higher upper levels of the society, but...
Well, I looked it up on dictionary.com. Madge is a female given name.
Well, that's good. We know Madge is a girl.
Yeah.
That, we were really wondering about that for a long time.
Sure. I got that. Good thing that's cleared up.
Yep.
Okay, so that does it for Chapter Chat this week. Be sure to email in your thoughts about what we just discussed, why the TV is there, Madge, whatever you want. Or if you read chapters 7 and 8 for next week, so that was 7 and 8, you can email us thoughts and we will read them off next week. Alright, so now we are going to close the show with Harrock, or Hunger Games Rock, where we close out the show each week with the musical selection of one of the host's choice that we think fits well with the Hunger Games. This week, enjoy a great song that is Alex's pick. Alex, take it away.
Okay, this pick is going to surprise many, many people, but I chose Strawberry Fields Forever by a little band called The Beatles.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that some kind of hipster band or something?
Yeah, are those they're pretty obscure. I mean, they're around in the 60s. Nobody really remembers them.
Right. Yeah.
But anyways, so before you think I'm insane, there are two reasons why I think this fits. One is that Strawberry Fields is sometimes slang given to, you know, a war field, you know, where people have died, a lot of blood has been shed. And so when you look at the lyrics that way, it could be Katniss or, like, some soldier just standing in the field, blood everywhere, and just sort of going, what's happening? Just the whole anxiety of war. And the other thing is that my real initial reaction to the song is that it is somebody who is on drugs. And so when you think of it that way, Katniss on the Tracker Jacker Venom, just wandering around, wondering what is happening, you know, in a strawberry field or whatever, and especially the line, no one I think is in my tree. Tree? Tracker Jackers? There you go.
Very good. And also, Madge likes strawberries.
There you go.
That's the takeaway, people. So, yeah, that does it for the show this week, everybody. Be sure to visit Rebellion Radio Podcast for everything about the show. You'll find handy links to our iTunes and Tumblr, and you can stay updated through our Facebook and Twitter, facebook.com/rrpodcast and twitter.com/rrpodcast. Also, discuss with other listeners in the comments, and of course, contact us for anything at all at comments@rebellionradiopodcast.com. If you do one thing, we always mention this, leave us an iTunes review. That is the most appreciated way of supporting the show. Thank you all very much for listening. I'm Hurley Commons.
I'm Alex Bulva.
And I'm Elena Thomas.
Fight the capital, end the hunger, join the rebellion.
Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Field. Nothing is real, nothing to get hung about.
Italian or something? No, that was...
Hey, Hurley, we didn't decide what song you're going to sing.
Oh, no.
Oh, there was an email from somebody saying that you should sing Boyfriend by Justin Bieber.
No, I saw one that said Call Me Maybe. So let's vote.
Oh, my goodness. You should sing Call Me Maybe.
How about this? How about we put a poll up on the website and just ask people to vote? Because people are just sending in random things. How about we just get, like, the people, like, the songs people suggested?
Okay.
Put them in a poll.
I suggest Strawberry Fields Forever. I want to hear you sing that.
I'm saying Call Me Maybe. That would be hilarious.
Why are you guys so mean?
Okay, so top three choices. Justin Bieber's Boyfriend, whoever sings Call Me Maybe, and Strawberry Fields
Carly
Forever.
Carly Rae Jepsen or something?
I really don't care.
Yeah, Carly Rae. Yeah, it's Carly Rae Jepsen. But I hate that song. And also, yeah. For some reason, a popular suggestion was... Eye of the Tiger.
Oh, I heard that too.
That's awesome.
Like three people sent that, and I'm like, why?
Actually, no, I changed my mind. I have the Tiger for you.
Okay. All right, I should not have mentioned that. Okay, so we'll put up a poll, and...
Wait, remind me again, why exactly do you have to sing a song?
Because we made a bet in the trailer, there was like a shot of Katniss holding her arrow up, and I speculated that it was... not in the arena.
Oh.
And I speculated
Alex
it was.
Said it was. And Alex said it was, yeah.
And I was right.
Okay.
Because I thought for sure they didn't have any arena shots in that trailer.
Oh, wait, I gotta feed my cat.
What?
I've gotta feed my cat. Hold on, guys.
Are you still recording?
No, I'm kidding.
Okay. Wait, I did you say I gotta feed my cat, though?
Yeah, feed my cat.
Oh, okay. I thought you said pee my cat.
That's what I thought he said, too.
Oh, come on. Alright. He's one of the He's the one that she goes to when she's having her... Alright.
Alright, stop that photo.
It's like they were taken...
Alex, question.
Yes.
What do you do when this happens during a play?
It doesn't happen in play, because this is my first time reading through this comment, so.
Oh, okay. Alright, go ahead.
Yeah.
And she chose Somebody That I Used to Know by Gautier. How do you say an artist's name? I never...
Gautier?
I have no idea.
Gautier?
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 Is it like a silent E or Y? I just say Gautier.
Maybe it's Gautier?
Me and my brother say Gautier.
Got ya.
Because it's just funny, fun to say.
Got ya.
Anyway,